Bill and Gunn, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. And we've got a full house. We've got the Home Affairs Minister, the Minister for Education, Minister for Police and Cultural Affairs, and the Attorney General and Minister for Treasury. We've even got the Court Sheriff and the Surveyor General in the office this morning. But I might start off with an article that made the Guardian newspaper recently, and it says, what is an Indigenous treaty and how would it work in Australia? So it goes on to say, calls go back decades for a binding agreement between First Nations and the Commonwealth. States have started the process, but prospects for a federal treaty are less clear. And I think we can talk about that because it's less clear because the tribal nations, in my view, have not set up their governments. So if you're an Indigenous Australian, you can't treaty with Australia because you are Australia. Full stop, game over, shop shut. And so the Uluru Statement from the Heart talks about the coexisting sovereignties. And of course, Ganyara, this is quite simple now. We've been saying this for many years. That's why Australia is struggling, because there's an identity crisis and people are slowly beginning to wake up, I think.
Yeah, they sure are. But, you know, bear in mind, going back, what, 5 or 6 years ago, we had a bit of a conversation with a senator who's now retired, and he said, look, they're going to go down the state-based treaty road because it's a bit of a can-kicking exercise where they can delay the inevitable. As it was said then, Yidinji's probably 30 to 40 years ahead of everyone else in this absolute, you know, treaty stuff, you know. We know where we're going for. We've known for a long time what we're doing and where we're going to go with it. But you're dead right. You talk about Uluru and then there's coexisting sovereignties. Well, coexist means two or more things together in the same place at the same time. That's how things coexist in the big wide world. There was a bit of case law going back a couple of years now. I'm just trying to think of the case law itself. It was in the High Court of Australia where they actually said, regarding the sovereignty of states, that the states aren't sovereign. Basically, along the line of, you know, the colonies were never sovereign, you know, the colony of New South Wales, Queensland or whatever, and then the state of, you know, and the colony of Queensland. And as they said in that determination there by Chief Justice Barwick, that even the states aren't sovereign enough to enter into formal agreements or treaties. They were never international persona. So once you understand that, so treaties... Now, there is two definitions of the word treaty, by the way. There is one which just means a private agreement amongst somethings. You know, we're not talking about the sovereignty side of things. But the Uluru Statement from the Heart said, you know, there are coexisting sovereignties, and it's got to be the treaty in the word sovereignty, you know, the sovereign treaties, is what it's all about. So if we're going to be sovereign entities, which is what the Aboriginal people are in their individual nation and the Commonwealth of Australia, the treaty's got to be done there, which is normally along the lines of, you know, the international conventions. So that's what regulates law, and these are agreements between sovereign nations or societies of people. So very different worlds to what Queensland is and what they're offering at present, which is, you know, an internal, just an agreement amongst Australians, but it is not... As Greg Craven said, it won't create nations at law, it won't be binding at law, it won't give any authority at law. And they're actually just another useless thing from the white Australia to hang around the necks of the Aboriginal people. So think about what's being said when you talk about treaties now. It has to be at a sovereign level, and that's the Commonwealth of Australia.
Yeah, we've said that before in terms of the states aren't sovereign enough. I mean, look, fair enough if they want to. I mean, they've already changed it. I think Queensland has changed its constitution or preamble to say that they recognise Indigenous people have a special rights or affiliation with the land or whatnot. I mean, that's already there. The High Court, the, you know, Federal Court, there's all these international instruments that Australia has signed up to that supports the rights of Indigenous peoples, to support what Yidinji's doing. So you're going to have to wake up and smell the roses. Even Blind Freddy could see that. I think you're right in that the states aren't sovereign enough because they can't create their own dollars. They use Australian dollars and they use Australian Defence Force. They don't have their own private armies, their private banks and their ability to create their own stamps or whatever it is. That's a really important thing. Yidinji is and can do that.
Oh, 100%. And something you've got to remember with all of this as well, with this treaty stuff, it's just like the voice to Parliament. It's divisive and racist. Now, why should one group of Australian citizens or Queensland citizens be given some special negotiating power with the state of Queensland based on race? You know, that is racist. That's the very definition of racism right there. You know, you know, a Chinese Queenslander has the same ability as a Canadian Queenslander or a British Queenslander or an Aboriginal Queenslander. They're all the same. And that's then you move it up to the voice to Parliament. That's just once again being divisive and racist. And actually, they're creating a massive problem. And I actually got to stop and look at what Australia is trying to do. Would Yidinji want a treaty with someone who's racist? Think about it. You know, the Yidinji way is not racist way. It is where the coexisting sovereignties talk to each other and negotiate a settlement as to how both societies are going to coexist on the one piece of land at the same time. Not by some state-based or, you know, racist voice to Parliament.
Yeah, well, you know, it's potentially that the Foreign Minister of Australia is racist. Senator Penny Wong, that person is potentially racist because they don't want to talk to us, the Foreign Minister of the Sovereign Yidinji Government, our office. So those things are really important, the same way that the Prime Minister's office may be racist because it was built on a white Australia policy. We've got to remember that. So I think two wrongs don't make a right, and the Yidinji solution is here for everybody. One of the most important things that is happening now is that more citizens are coming to the Yidinji territory and taking up citizenship, and our Home Affairs Minister has been very busy in that area. And just give us an update on what's been happening in the last few weeks, because I know that your hands probably really sore about doing all that stamping and with the embosser and that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing that the Yidinji Nation itself is starting to be recognised among citizens and those who are visiting our territory. For example, I think it was about last week, we issued more than 200 entry visas into people who are coming from other nations, like Eora and from Canberra as well. So it was really nice to see that across the land, people are recognising our sovereignty, and they're actually coming into our office and they're asking for entry visas because they want to be on Yidinji territory under the covering of the elders as well, which is really nice to see. And then also too is that our department is getting a little bit busy with citizenships as well. So at some points we have up to 15 to 20 people in a week coming in seeking citizenships, down to maybe a handful of people. But over time we've increased now. We're probably getting over 200 citizens, and which are quite active as well. They're joining the police force. They're looking at what else they can do within the nation to help build the capacity of our nation. So it's really nice. Nice to see.
It is, and Yirilam, I think you've been in the office most times when those things are happening. What are some of the things that citizens are talking about? What are the possibilities or some of the improvements they'd love to make in the written law, for example?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the first things that does stand out is the feeling of relief that there is another option to what they're currently under in the written law. And, you know, of course, the integrity that sits behind the sovereign Yidinji government is part of the reason that they're feeling that relief. It's amazing the skills that we're seeing. Darragon, some of the people that are coming in have got incredible skills to offer, you know, from aerospace to clerical. It's the whole range there. And as Darragon said, we're really excited to hear that so many people are offering their time, volunteer like the rest of us. You know, it's all been submitted or volunteered, and it's fantastic that that it's happening. It's happening constantly. It's a constant flow. We need more helpers for Darragon, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I guess that if we look at our nation building, the citizen is very, very important. And Ganyara, there's been some massive advances in the Yidinji Nation in relation to things to do with law and justice. I know that the Yidinji Police, for example, in a historic first, were the ones to deal with the family dispute. And that's a good thing that citizens are now using those organs of government and those mechanisms and the benefits of it.
Oh, once you understand this stuff, you know, for example, like those who are non-citizens of Australia, you know, there are a number of people in the Yidinji society that are not subject to Australian law. And that was actually proven in a court case going back, 7 years now, As the judge said, if you're not one of ours, there's the door, you're free to go at large. Well, that means we've got to take charge and control of those citizens that are beyond the reach of the Australian law, because the Australian Constitution only allows Australian law to go so far. After that, they're exceeding the Constitution, which then destroys the document, what it's all about. So Yidinji, being the responsible citizen that it is in the big wide world, has taken charge of that by bringing about its own police force, its own laws, its own customs and beliefs. As part of that, you know, family disputes, you know, they're not uncommon in Australia, they're not uncommon in our world. But they've got to be settled in a manner that's agreeable to everyone. And in this case there, as you were talking about there, there was one the other day there, only a week or so ago, where the family did come to an agreement, more or less, you know, within 4 or 5 hours of you know, having the Yidinji police involved. That was a great outcome. You know, there was no court, there was nothing involved. So well overdue, those sort of things, but it's good to see. But it's all about the legal identity, the whole lot, about the person, where it's created, how it's created. And this is what Yidinji is all about. It's creating an international identity for itself. That's the Yidinji government. And within that international identity is the Yidinji citizen, which is subject to Yidinji law and not Australian law. And the Yidinji citizen actually used Yidinji dollars. That's created, subject to the laws of the Yidinji nation. So it's just, this is how it all comes about. But we've got to be responsible. And we're just using the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous Peoples as a guideline as to how we can do things, what we should be doing, and making life work for everyone. But there's more to Yidinji than just that. It's also trying to settle the past with Australia and secure the future for all, including the Australian citizens. Because at present, if we have the territory, where's the territory of Australia? So that's our territory. They need to have some ground to stand upon to put their constitution to be equal with us, to be able to enter into a treaty.
Yeah, I think that's very good. And the police minister's looking at me now. He's going to say something as well.
Yeah, good morning. Boom here. I'm sitting down right near Dad Sheely, and it takes a long time to build that, make this. And it's nice, too. I like it. I took my grandchildren to the Sport in Vola Park then. Some lady saying to me, "Hey, Uncle Boomy, wait there, we're going to talk to you." I said, "Oh." I said, "Right, oh, we talked." She said, "I'm a citizen too, I'm with you too." And everywhere I've been going lately, that I've been getting good feedback, you know, what we got to hear on the radio here, and see our walk of life. See, when you make your shield, you don't go in the shop and buy it. It was made by hand, made by Dad, and this is the tribe of Yidinji, you know. So Dad would show Gribble a shield, and he told Gribble to go, he's trouble, you know. We here today as the Yidinji citizens, you know, we're on this radio, we're telling you the truth, and this is what's happening with us. That, what's that? The blow up there again. Yeah. So
everything. Battery is running out. Sorry.
So this morning I got a good news off my granddaughter. She won the barrister, I think. Oh, I'll say it's top shelf. Nikita Salas. His mother rang me up. We had a good talk, and I was that glad for that. She went down to Brisbane last night, and she won it. So I'm having a good day today, and all day yesterday, and kids were winning their race, and some of them they lose it, but that was good. But a good feedback, you know, that they're talking to me, you know. They talked and, you know, saying, "Hello, how you going, Uncle?" You know, you're doing the right thing, you know. Yeah.
Yes, it's very good. Sorry, I thought the microphone was off then, Colin. But you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the country today. We'll be back after the break.
I've been thinking hard all day. I've been thinking long, and I guess I'm tired of moving through. Suppose I settle down with you. On second thoughts, you'll understand. I gotta run, I gotta roll, and I don't know if I'll be back again. Don't panic, I play mind games well. You see, I can fool myself. I'll keep you holding on. I'll keep you hanging on. I got a feeling that a good thing's coming around the bend, baby. You know I love you. But something around the corner in the light of something better. Everywhere I'm, every day there's a corner that I want. Too much, there's this place I wanna be. Oh, it's a place I'm yet to see. But I don't wanna be a lonely man. I'll keep on feeding you with all the love I can spare. Yeah. Yeah. I gotta feed my baby heart. I just gotta feed my baby heart. Some call this selfish.
Red.
Hey, welcome back to the show. One of the things that I can report today is that there are a number of businesses now in the city of Gimoy and on the Yidinja Territory that want to look at options to be paid and to accept the sovereign Yidinja dollar. That's a very important development for our nation. Obviously, there are many businesses that are on the territory that operate in the Australian realm, but now our mechanism has been created there with the sovereign Yidinja dollar to invite those citizens, the Yidinja citizens, that is, to have businesses and to do things. So there's a number of businesses that want to have a look at that. I think it's exciting, but it's something that we're not going to be rushing into. Of course, we're very careful. We're not really... we could have done that many years ago, but it's one of those things that is not a priority at this stage. However, we do build it, and there is a demand for that now. And over the next few years, I think there'll be a slow rollout of the citizens' ability to use the sovereign Yidinja dollar. At this moment, it's quite limited, but there are things that people can buy, and that is maybe a coffee or some stamps from our post office, for example. But I see this developing in a way that will just be normal cross-border interaction, Ganyara.
Yeah, well, look, all Yidinji citizens at present, if you are a Yidinji citizen with a Yidinji business, you must be operating and trading in Yidinji dollars. That's just part of the regulations and the law. But, you know, it's now moving it to the stage of, as you said, cross-border stuff there, where Australian businesses are starting to seek interest in operating with the Yidinji dollar, because that brings about many benefits and such things as taxation relief. You know, for example, Australian tax laws do not apply to the Yidinji dollar. You know, that's a massive thing. So it's not a tax haven, but it's an ability to use the Yidinji tax laws, which are a lot more user-friendly, a lot more business-friendly than the Australian taxation law. You know, we don't have volumes and volumes of taxation legislation like Australia does. Ours is quite simple. So those sort of tax laws apply to the Yidinji dollar. It's easy to use. It's being a digital currency now, as is coming forward with the digital identity. We're moving forward into the modern era. Gone are the old days of actually cash notes and that sort of stuff there. It's all digital. It is a lot more easier, and there are a number of Australian businesses, believe it or not, that are using it. Even though it's a limited number, you know, but it is starting to work and operate and is very successful. So it's just the ability for the Yidinji nation to underwrite its dollar with its resources. It's cold, hard stuff out there, you know. The carbon, for example, that's Yidinji carbon. It's not Australian carbon in all our mangroves and rainforests and that sort of stuff there. So that's one part of the underwriting of the dollar, the Yidinji dollar, that is, not the Australian one. Theirs is a completely fiat currency backed by absolutely nothing. Ours is backed by substance. Huge difference in the world out there when you talk about money. That's why we're getting such interest in the Yidinji dollar. As you correctly said there, we have to be very careful, because there is a perceived massive influx of things like US dollars, which are weakening out there, to want to come into something of substance. You know, the price of goods, you've got to understand inflation, the price of goods doesn't go up. It's actually devaluation of the money. The money value is going down. And that's why the Yidinji dollar is remaining strong and stable in the Yidinji economy. It's the value is of our trees, of our carbon, of our resources. You know, that's what's holding our dollar stable. It's not that we're just printing the stuff up and giving it away willy-nilly, you know. So a big difference between us and Australia, and we will be rolling it out further, but we have to be very aware of this influx of inferior money. Well, it's actually not money, it's just fiat currency into our world, because money is what we have, because ours is of value and backed by substance. The Australian dollar is currency, which is of nothing to back it. It's just a promise that someone will accept that a $10 note is worth $10, whatever that $10 is. But, you know, you can see the inflation going up, or the devaluation going on, because, you know, what used to be $10 18 months ago is now worth $10 or $15, you know, gone from 10 to 15. So that's how much the money is devaluing itself. People are not believing the promise of $10 is $10 anymore. Once again, Yidinji is just leading the way. We had to do this. We have to create it. The Yidinji way is also then to underwrite or continue the underwriting of the Commonwealth of Australia. Australia was built on the back of the Aboriginal nations, so there's no two ways about that. That was actually put out in Mabo, in Mabo 2. Aboriginal underwrote Australia. We want to continue that by using our dollar, our Yidinji dollar, to keep Australia alive. This is just part of settling the past and securing the future for everyone. Now, could you imagine what would happen if all the Aboriginal nations around, you know, on the Great Continent said to Australia, well, we will continue underwriting you, but this time with money of substance, of real value, not just some printed up make-believe coin, you know, that they, or paper note that they make, you know, where there's just all fiat, there is nothing to it. Could you imagine that, how that would bring prosperity to Australia and for all Australians, mind you?
Yeah, it's one of those things where... I think, like you said, just it is a slow process. We know what the value of things are, and but at the end of the day, I'm really excited that in the future that we'll be able to underwrite our own programs. And like Eurolimit's one of those things where international experts have been commenting on our Yidinji advancement in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the world is screaming out for substance behind what they're currently experiencing, and it's the cultures of this country that can provide that. Especially when you know, my field of education, this is one of the strongest points that traditional culture has. It teaches in ways that is connected to the country around people, is connected to each other. It has meaning, and that's what, when we talk to other players internationally, they are asking for this sort of curriculum to be shared. And, you know, as you just said, of course, we're going to have the capacity to showcase this on our own nation very soon with the ability to underwrite our own stuff.
Yeah, Darragon, I think in terms of the shortfalls in Australia, let's talk about, there's a lot of good programming and stuff in there, but usually... that could easily be changed at a stroke of a pen. Different government comes in, they lose the funding, even if it's a really important service. I think from our point of view, if someone's doing a good job, let's keep working on it and funding it.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that I've seen is just in the past is that, you know, like you said, a lot of those programs are just kind of taken away at the stroke of a pen. You know, they're not looking at the substance of the programs that are being delivered. We've seen over a period of time that, you know, programs are targeting specific demographics, but they're not looking holistically. And I think with the Yidinji way, we're definitely looking at the family unit and how we can build the family structure, and so that the programs we're looking at delivering is going to enhance the family as a whole and not just one demographic, for example, the young people. It's great to have those programs out there, but we're looking holistically. How is the young person going to be supported in their family structure? How is the family going to be supported so that they can provide more... you know, more opportunities for the young people that's in their home. And I think that that's something that we're going to be striving for anyway, because we are looking at the family unit, and because we see that if the success is coming from our families, then that success will then come over into our nation building.
Yeah, and Kalna, do you think if people had enough money, like Yidinji had, like Yidinji money, and there wouldn't be too many fights over things? A lot of families, I guess, would fight over little things, might be to do with money as well, or the lack of money.
Thank you, son. Well, see, like this now, like, I've been sleeping at Red Lynch. I've been in a camp, and them language words still gone. We wouldn't have been on this, talking on this radio now if we didn't know. We've been taught. I've been taught. And all these language words, we all say it today. We do Yidinji dance, and we talk Yidinji language, and it's still right across the board from Red Lynch, from the Barron, Double Island, my granddad initiator, Charlie Hyde Boa. So from there, right through down at this side of Johnson River, where Hinnersvale and nearly all the Yarra, it's all Edingi language. We don't make these things up because everybody say these words. Where they going? Oh, I'm going Bucky. I'm going to Jinji. And all these words in town here too. Garawande, Gimoy, Jadgaran, Redling. You know, they're still here and we're still saying it, you know. And that's why Edingi needed his rights. You know, that's what, you know, give us our treaty, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I guess those names and are very important, which brings to me the next part of the show is that one of our citizens, Azul, has created a wonderful application to give Yidinji names to various 3 metre square blocks on the Yidinji territory. This would act some sort of like a titling system, I guess, and that's a very important thing for us. In lieu of, you know, obviously it would be very difficult for our Surveyor General to go and do all that work by himself, but I think this would assist. Ganyara, how important is that to have the correct description for the territory and for the land that's connected to the root title of the place?
It's paramount, to say the least. You have a look at the Australian land titles or the Queensland land title, for example. They'll go back to a point in time after the creation of the Commonwealth of Australia. So it was back about 1910, 1920, somewhere in there. That's as far back as we can track proper state of Queensland land title, not the colonial one, but these are from, you know, the new state, the new one that was formed in 1901, by the way, because that's how old Queensland is. That's how old Australia is, because the states were created at the creation point of Australia. But our land titles go back 60, 70, 80,000 years ago. We knew where they were. People actually spoke the title, but now we're modernising it into the paper world, so that when it's written out, people can actually understand on a map where our house block is, for example, where the office block is. But it's in language, of course. And we actually translate that now across into English so that the Australians can understand that on purpose, because our root titles have always been there. The Mabo determination made it very clear the natives have land titles. When Justice Dowse had done some Yidinji native title determinations, he actually said, Yidinji have a system of land tenure. So it's paramount that we get our stuff on paper, that through treaty we can marry it to the Queensland land title, for example. Because at present, their land title is a nothing. It's ill described. There's nothing. There's no description to it. Where does it come from? They just made one up. And we actually rang the Lands Department about that. We said, where did you get the land from in Queensland? They said, well, we sort of just took it. You can't just took it. It'd be stolen. Understand it. It's stolen. If you're going to apply your land title, but it applies to nothing. Our land titles are underneath. And everyone goes, oh, native title extinguishes the native's title. It can't extinguish it, because there's no... To extinguish means to bring to an end the contract. There is no contract. There's no treaty. Nothing to extinguish. We still have the land titles. If they've got one land title, we've got them all. But they're just choosing not to look at the ones underneath freehold. So they'll say, oh, Yidinji, you can have the national park. That's your... In the Australian world, that's your native title. Good go. We've got all our titles underneath, a whole lot. These are all Yidinji ones. And this is what I'm saying. The Surveyor General has done a wonderful job to have them all now described within a 3 metre block.
Yes, congratulations. The thing is, too, is that not only just the surface of the land, but we're talking about spectrum and sky and down to the centre of the earth. That's all Yidinji's. Okay? I'm not making that up. The Creator made that. So that's Yidinji land in accord with the highest law, which is that God gave Yidinji, for example, Gaibra. So that's a very important thing. God wouldn't give England to England, or, you know, all the mob over there. That's their little parcel of land. You can't go stealing somebody's stuff or coveting their land or anything else. So anyway, you heard that many times on this show. But listen, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break with some closing comments.
Shine! We
All righty. Closing comments. We might start with you, Cumnor. What's your final message for the day for the program?
Get out of sleep. Well, I want to say good morning and come and visit us, you know, in our office. And you see what how we operate here. And yeah, Uncle say good day and I take it easy, a bit cool out there. But that's how it goes. It'll get hot one day.
I just wanted to say may you all have a blessed week and may you go before you and have a good one.
Yes, beautiful sentiments and absolutely. This is the nation where that is the feeling behind every action we take. So we look forward to you coming and visiting.
Yes, so there's a number of things going on. I think in Yarra, in closing, some big exciting projects coming up. The national closing of the national borders in November is an important assertion of territorial sovereignty. Those plans are in place. We've got a potential police dog mascot. The name of the puppy is Zeffy. You might have seen that on the social media. So now and then you might meet Zeffy on the streets. But there's a lot of exciting things going on. And the land court's operational as well. So these important functions, remember, are here ultimately to protect the Commonwealth of Australia. So you don't feel, you know, a bit of a din squeeze there, you mob, out there, or, you know, inferior or insecure about that. The tribal law is here to protect everyone, and that's what we're doing through this government, is providing that mechanism so the Commonwealth of Australia can reside on our territory with a bit of accord and satisfaction.
It is. It's probably taken the time to come and learn and understand the Yidinji way, because that's the biggest thing with this. We know we're not doing it inside Australia. This is a big task to take on. But when you understand how secure it will be for Australia, if Australia enter into a treaty with the Yidinji, for example, there will be no one will be able to intervene and come in between Yidinji and Australia, unless Australia break the treaty or someone, you know, goes against it. But in saying that, this is the only way now to secure the future for Australia forever, should they choose so. But understand and learn what we're doing before criticism is passed, because it is a hard way to go. You know, there has been a lot of criticism of the ability of the people of the Yidinji Nation, but once you understand what's going on, you'll probably find it's a lot better than what's being offered by the state-based treaties, the voice to parliament. There's no race, there's no division. It's just such a simple way to do things. But Australia will be getting security far beyond what it'll ever gain out of anything else it's ever done.
May God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to this program, in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we'll catch you next week. Okay, bye-bye.